This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Loveline with neo-feminist entrepreneur and talk show host Amber Rose.
I'm going to be talking about sex, relationships, and self-confidence. Everything from sexual curiosity to self-empowerment.
Amber is joined by certified sex therapist Dr. Chris Donahue.
I'll be talking about my own personal experiences and answering intimate questions from fans.
This is Loveline with Amber Rose.
Hey, you're listening to Loveline with Amber Rose and Dr. Chris. What's up, Dr. Chris?
Yo, what's going on?
How was your week, man?
Oh, amazing. Life is good.
Yeah, I heard you went to Disneyland.
Sure did.
How was that?
Oh, I'm telling you, Disneyland is one of my favorite places on the planet because I don't know what it is, but everyone is happy.
Yeah, it's fucking Disneyland.
Yeah.
It's but amazing.
Like, literally, people fall in line and just smile and they're nice. And I was there with Tess and Nick and we just like laughed and talked and took corny pictures because
so cute.
Everything's cute there. Ate Mickey face shaped pretzels. It was cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't get an invite, but whatever.
Well, you know, them boobies is they're not ready. Disneyland's not ready for all of you yet.
Soon. So I'm still like in recovery. I'm getting better. The doctor said just don't do any heavy lifting or like reaching up for things and stuff like that. But for the most part, you know, I'm moving and shaking and I still can't drive yet because it's just not safe. I'm still on medication. But
do you miss being out in the world?
I do. Yeah. I do. It's been like 3 weeks and I'm kind of going a little stir crazy in the house. So I try to like just sit in the backyard and, you know, just
play with yourself. I saw your last Instagram
post.
Know
that too. I mean, you know, I just gotta lay in the bed for that. That's easy.
I saw you out back all done up doing your thing and I was like, all right, well, she's getting out of the house.
Okay, so wait, check that out. So that day my friend had came over to do my hair and because I needed to take pictures because, you know, I'm still a businesswoman.
That's right.
You know, Instagram, you know, but actually taking those pictures killed me. Like, I was just so ready to go lay down. But I went in the backyard. I took some pictures for the gram, you know, and my sex toy line came out. Laylow.com. Make sure you go to Laylow.com. Laylow.com. And
the video that you posted,
mm-hmm.
Number one, awesome, beautiful.
Thank you.
You had like a little Psycho reference in there.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Who chose that? So badass.
It was a collaboration.
Oh, I loved it.
They had brought it to me and I was like, that's fucking sick.
That's so you.
Yeah, I want to do it.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. And so we have more videos coming out and stuff like that. But I'm really excited about the sex toys. You know, it's, masturbation is the safest sex. And, people frown upon it. I had a couple comments and stuff where like, what's your son going to think about this? And, you know, the same old mm-hmm. bullshit. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's safe.
Yeah.
You're in your house. You can do it with a partner, with a friend, by yourself, you know. And this is all like medical grade, you know, materials that are not going to irritate you and fuck you up. And
is it female or male as well?
I had two male toys and four female toys.
Okay. So feel free to slide two my way.
Yes. I'm going to give you two.
I'm out in the world. Actually,
yes.
I'm single, not very out in the world. So yeah.
Yeah. So basically it's a cock ring.
Cool.
And it vibrates and it's I heard it's, you know, amazing.
It is. I've used one.
Yeah.
Like that vibrates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This
and
one
you can
vibrates.
Also just give people a heads up. If you buy Amber's vibrating cock ring, you can also take it off the cock and just use this vibrator cupped in your hand and hold it on the guy's taint area, the perineum between the balls.
Yeah.
And the anus and it right there. Damn, it's good.
Damn.
Yeah, while you're going to town.
You know what? I really like when I give head, I like to go down there and like drive him crazy.
Have one of these in your hand. I'm
yeah.
Hold that right there.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. We'll try later, Dr.
All right,
Chris.
Okay, let's do it.
No, okay. So what stories do we have today? What's going on?
this was really bittersweet because there's something really beautiful to me about this.
Okay.
And then this also, of course, triggers some stuff for me. Y'all can figure out what that might be. So it's an article on the fact that if you're stressed, mm-hmm. you should try sniffing your partner's t-shirt. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, do I need to say anything more?
No, that's pretty accurate.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I've done that. And the study was looking at how if people are...
I've sniffed his underwear, like where his balls are. Mm-hmm. Like, does that... It's just... It smells so good.
Oh, you're killing me because I, with my ex, I would say sometimes, don't wash your underwear and wear it a couple days in a
row
and then leave it out for me.
Oh my God.
Bring my face in there.
Are we gross? That's hot to me. I'm sorry. We're so awesome.
Revolutionaries.
Just, but it has that, like, the smell of, like, the pubic hair and just, like, walking around throughout the day. And
that's real.
Ooh.
That's real. But here's what's even better. Not only does it turn you on, but the study's showing it really reduces stress. And so if you have something stressful going on and you have their t-shirt or in our case, their undies, and you sniff it, the studies show it drops cortisol levels.
So, interesting.
Yeah, basically they're saying, you know, again, they're playing it safe. So they're talking t-shirts only, but they're saying have them wear for 24 hours. Let it, you know, don't have them wear deodorant or anything like that. It'll get their scent on it.
Yeah. But even their cologne and their deodorant, if you're just used to that smell as well, but they're, what is that called? Pheromones, yeah? For males?
If it's from their body, yeah. I think it's a lot of things because you're also in their sweat, you're going to smell part of their diet, what they're eating. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to, that's going to be familiar to you. So it's like kind of a soup of a lot of different things, but.
That didn't sound very appetizing.
Soup.
Soup.
It's a hot, sexy, arousing swirl. Aroma. Like, actually, that's a good word.
Aroma's good.
Aroma.
I like aroma. Aroma sounds sexy.
That's like the word moist. Hell, some people can't handle your
I
word
love moist.
Moist,
oh, moist is good.
There's
yeah.
a lot of people that can't handle that word. I had a friend back home where that word would make her like cringe.
I'm into moist.
You like the moistness?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
So there's that. So feel free to snag some 21 stuff. Keep it around in case you need stress levels dropped.
Yeah, done.
I mean, bam, bam, bam. I'm going to go home tonight and smell my own. So that's sad.
Yeah, you know, it happens.
Actually, can you send me home with something? Because, like, I want to go home and just smell my own. Maybe a little care package,
I'll send
please.
You home with mine.
Okay, cool. Perfect. Oh, man. That'll be an interesting Instagram story.
Yeah, right. Oh, my God.
I'm going to sell them bad boys on Amazon, make me some money.
Shit, I don't blame you. I might do that, too. Shit.
Forget sex toys.
Right.
Come on now.
Selling draws.
That's right. So there's that. And then there's this other one. Me and Anne were trying this before you came into the room. It's about the difference between a left-sided hug and a right-sided hug.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. And
wait, hug me real quick.
Okay, because this is what I literally did to Anne.
Okay, wait, hold on. All
so
right.
Just come at me. What would you normally do? Okay, so you did the left-side hug.
Yeah.
Okay, now come at me and do the right-side hug.
Okay.
Wait, is that the other option? Wait, what did we do the first time?
We did this one.
Oh. No. We did this one the first time. No, we did that one.
We did this one first.
Okay, so that was your right side.
This is my left.
That was your right.
This is my left.
Wait, hug me again.
This way. This is left.
So hug me again.
Watch my boobs.
This is your right here. This is your right side.
Oh, you mean where you... Wait, you're saying where your head goes?
I think so.
Because I go to the left.
Hey, this is my right, though. And that's your right. So you.
Oh, so we do right. Okay. But I'm just thinking my head is going towards the left side.
No, that's my right side.
But that's your right side, but that's my left side.
No, it's your right side.
No, it's not. What the fuck are you talking about?
Me and Anne were just trying to do this.
This is my right hand. Right. I'm going this way.
Oh, yeah, you were, you were. Okay, and that's what they're saying is and we were just trying the hug test, and we did not
We failed miserably.
Because I still can't figure out what side I'm doing.
Okay, so when I hugged him, Anne, right, this is my left side. I went this way to his shoulder on my left side, right?
Yeah, and that's what we initially did.
Yeah.
So that's the emotional side, the emotional version.
Okay.
The other one is what they call the awkward side.
It is awkward.
Because it's like in this rational... So, because your right side of your body is linked to your left hemisphere of your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And the left side of your body is hooked to the right hemisphere. The right hemisphere is the emotional center. So when you do the left side hug, it's from the emotional place.
Because I love you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But me and Amber are trying to hug from the other side. It feels freaking weird.
Yeah. But I feel like you would hug from the other side if you're just meeting someone and give them a quick pat.
Yeah.
And be like, hey... You know, but because we know each other, we probably feel more comfortable going to the left side.
Yeah, and now I'm going to be tracking that. Anytime a human being tries to hug me, I'm like, what side was that? What does that mean?
Oh, I'm totally doing that.
Right? Yeah. Ding, 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 ding,
ding. Ding, fucking ding, 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 boy.
It's the little things that
It's
count.
The little motherfucking things, boy.
Our phone is dead.
Why would Brian have the phone in his room? You know what? I'm gonna go get that fucking dildo and stick it up his ass.
Wait, we have no phone line.
It's charging right now.
Jesus, do you know what? This show is a train wreck. I really just want to apologize to our listeners. You know, whoever uses a house phone, I don't understand.
I forget that they exist until I come here and see one of them in Antioch.
I have a landline.
You do?
Yeah.
Why?
Because just in case of something.
No, the only reason why I have a landline at the house is to open my gates to let people in.
Right.
And our podcast. No one uses that phone ever.
Except Brian.
Yeah, but fuck,
who's he calling?
Oh, I'm gonna find out.
He has a cell phone.
I'm gonna find out.
Yeah, that's scandalous.
Don't be running up my phone bill, motherfucker.
Messing with your podcast.
And guess what? It's gonna come right out of his check, honey. Okay. Don't play with me.
Oh man, next week, please bring the bill so we can see who we called and we'll call
them.
We'll call them up on the show.
Yeah.
Hi, why are you calling Brian?
Yeah, because you know he's from Miami, so he's calling long distance on a house phone.
Shame on him.
I'm going to kick his ass.
So let's talk about a topic we've talked about many, many times, but it's made relevant yet again. And I'm kind of burnt out and exhausted on this topic. So maybe, Amber, you can take it over for me.
Okay.
New York Times just released a new article written by a bunch of people who actually really shouldn't have written it because they're not really
qualified.
Yeah, at all. But it's another anti-porn article.
All right, let me hear the gist of it. What's the gist?
Well, basically, it was just talking about how it's not a realistic portrayal of how people have sex.
Okay, it's not. So what? Who cares?
Nothing is. You ever been to a movie theater and seen a movie? Yeah. Like, do you go to the movies and shame the movie you're watching because it's not an honest portrayal
when
of family
cars
life?
Flip five times on a highway and then just land on the wheels and people and they're okay and then they start shooting guns and then they don't get caught and they fly in a helicopter and go to an island.
Yeah. Like, have you ever watched Real Housewives? That's not most people's lives either. The homes they're living in, the places they're going, all that stuff. So it's like...
It's entertainment.
Right. But yet again, we want to pick this one specific form of art and entertainment and attack it and not critically analyze other forms. But it also was talking about and had really kind of covertly embedded in it the fear of things like, you know, kids talking and seeing and trying anal sex. And just really...
Listen, hold the fuck up. Let me say something, okay? Now, I've been watching porn for a long time, okay? Since I was young. Any little thing that I could see, even if I was at my friend's house and, like, their parents had it and, like, we would, like, watch it and shit like that. I never wanted to try anal. I just didn't want to try it until, you know, now that I'm older, I'm more open to it, but still haven't tried anal.
Right.
So, you know what? Anal is so taboo, and people that wrote the article are just gonna, you know, pick out anal out of everything else you could try sexually. And it's just absolutely ridiculous.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's the thing is people aren't as stupid as they just go out and do everything they see on television. Because again, as you just talked about, people will be out there flipping cars and doing all sorts of, you know.
But not even that. Anal doesn't look like it feels good. So, you know, as a kid, you're like, oh, that's going to feel like shit going back up my ass. I don't want to try that. That's personally how I feel. Unless... You know, you feel the urge to do it, but you're not going to... I personally don't think that you're going to watch porn and be like, I really, really want to try that, like, right now.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is if you have, like, boundaries, impulse control, empathy, then you don't try to engage in anything, including sex that hurts other people.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't sound good to you or turn you on.
Right.
And there's so many positive benefits. Like, people's minds are blown away when I talk about how I've prescribed it to patients of mine. To help them, A, get more comfortable with sexuality in general.
Yeah.
B, amp up their arousal. C, something else to do with their
partners.
You're going to
try anal when you want to try anal. You're not going to try anal because you watched it in a porn. You know how much porn I've watched? And I'm like, whew, that turned me on. But I will never do that in my fucking life.
Yes. You know? Because that's part of the beauty of porn is it allows for engagement and things that you want to have left in fantasy. Only,
I always say my favorite porn is like cream pie gangbangs. Right,
and we all know Amber doesn't want a second.
I'm never
gonna
do it.
That's what it's there for.
It turns me on to watch multiple guys take turns and cream pie. It's a fantasy. I will probably never do it in my lifetime, but it's entertainment. That's what it's there for. It's for entertainment, and that's it. So you're gonna try anal when you want to fucking try anal. Nothing in porn is gonna make you want to do something more than before.
Yeah. And it's just a bummer because the people that are referenced in the article are people that the industry doesn't respect, and it's not porn scholars, and yes, there are such thing as porn scholars. It's not from people that are from, you know, feminist studies that can really critically analyze it. And also, this is actually really powerful, and I don't, then I'll stop boring everyone with facts, but cultures that have
this
more,
is not boring by the
okay,
way
okay good
okay
cultures that have more permissive attitude towards sex, that have more honest discussions around sexuality, and they allow nudity on television in the world, they have lower rates of sex crimes.
Mm-hmm.
They have lower rates of teen pregnancy.
Right.
They have lower rates of sex offenses. They have lower rates of STDs. Why? Because these people have a comfortable understanding with how to engage in sexuality, ask for what they want.
Yeah.
They've seen it. They had it in their lives. And so, like, we need to move towards that.
I mean, listen, that just goes back to, okay, so, you know, I have a slut walk and I have an art exhibit, and every year I go and I buy art pieces for my house. My house is full of vaginas and boobs and naked women all over my house, right? My son sees these pictures every single day. You know what he says? Nothing.
Right.
He
because
sees
it's
me
normal
naked.
Lies.
He sees me naked every single day when I get in the shower, because my son, you know, he's always on my butt. He's always with me. I take my clothes off and I get in the shower, and he doesn't say, "Oh, mommy, put some clothes on." He's like, "Hey, mommy, okay, when you get out the shower, can we go, you know, out to eat?" Or it's not weird. But there's grown people that come over my house and they'll go, "Whoa, wow, that's a vagina in a picture." You know, my son is going to be 5 years old this month. Everything is normalized. And I've said it before on the podcast, even if I use the bathroom and my son is with me, because he's always with me, he'll say, "Mommy, are you bleeding? Do you need a tampon?" And he'll go get me a tampon out of the cabinet.
He's learning the words, the language.
He knows
not anxious
what it
engaging
is.
It. He'll be able to have an honest, healthy, age-appropriate conversation with other people about these things. Because here's the thing. Sexuality doesn't start when you're 18.
Right.
Sexuality doesn't even necessarily
I was
start
masturbating
at
7.
Okay, so people throughout their entire lifespan need to hit sexual, social developmental milestones, and they have to know how to talk about these things. Because if we withhold people encountering sex and languaging and seeing and talking about it, you can't then expect that when it does arise in their life, they're going to know how to do so confidently.
Babe, my son is so mature that when he actually, first of all, he's going into kindergarten, not even first grade. So once he actually gets into elementary school, and the boys are like, "Oh, boobs," or, "Oh, this," or, you know, "She's bleeding. You know, she hit 10, 11, 12 years old. Oh, she got her period. That's gross." My son is going to be so mature where he's just like, "Dude, grow up."
Yep.
Like, women bleed every month. Are you fucking serious? Like, don't embarrass her. Don't shame her for that.
But that's the thing is, like, unfortunately, you're giving him the sex education that he should be given in school when they try this, or by other people, but aren't. And a lot of sex education in school is centered around getting them to not have sex versus helping them learn how to engage it, meaning just talk about it and think about it. And that's important. That's what you're giving your son.
Yeah.
You have conversations with him.
Yeah.
So he knows how
but
to
I
ask
almost,
questions.
But I almost don't want sex education in my son's school.
Well, you shouldn't, because it's done horribly.
Yeah.
It's abstinent based,
right,
most of it. And it's taught by someone who doesn't have a healthy relationship to
it's
it.
It's so not realistic.
No, it's not like they bring in some sex positive feminist sex therapist.
Right.
It's like some horrified adult from
don't have
school.
Sex or you'll get pregnant and
yeah.
die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's heterosexual based, as though everyone's having heterosex.
Right.
I was at this lecture once. This is actually really funny. And I was giving a talk about sexuality and sexual health. And someone said to me, "You know, Dr. Donny, question, what advice would you give to me as a sex educator with teenagers?" And I said, "Tell them to have anal. No one gets pregnant from anal."
Oh, he gags.
Yeah. And they were like, "Oh, well, we're not ready for that." And I was like, "Yeah, but isn't that interesting that you're not willing to have a really honest, open discussion about sexuality, all that exists, what's healthy, what's not, how, like, you always say masturbation is one of the safest forms of sex."
Yeah.
None of that's discussed.
No.
And so I know I also wouldn't want my child, when I have one,
mm-hmm,
getting anything from school.
But also, you know, I had a friend, which I have said this on a podcast before, that she found a toy. It was like one of them little pocket pussy things in her son's room. And she found it. She yelled at him and she put him on punishment and she took it away. And then she came to me and said, "Girl, guess what? I found this in his room and I punished him. I can't believe, where the hell did he get this from?" And I had to sit down with her and say, "You totally did the wrong thing.
That's right. Yep.
That is horrible. Don't ever, 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 ever do that, because that's the safest sex. And I would rather my son have that and masturbate all day
right.
than, you know, really to go out and be, just be unsafe and unaware of what's going on in the world. And,
yes.
you know, not use a condom because I never told him what a condom was. And, you know, I never showed him what STDs look like.
And I wonder what the mother's actual concern was. There's nothing wrong with masturbation or self-pleasure at any age.
Yeah.
And so it should have been her minding her own business and not digging through his stuff. And if she found it, she should either just put it back
yeah.
or have a conversation with him about it in a non-shaming way.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it becomes difficult. First of all, if you're close with your child, you know your child, right? So at that point, if he has that in his room, let him have that in his room.
Sure.
You don't have to go pull it out, talk to him, be like, blah, 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 blah. Because you're going to know when your son starts to have sex or he's out, you know, with a guy or a girl. You're going to start to see that. And that's when you can come. But if he's in his room, he's masturbating by himself. Let that little boy figure out what's going on with his body.
This is the problem. We have an issue right now with understanding of consent. And what you're training your child, son or daughter, is that that consent doesn't matter when you're forcing yourself into their life and making decisions for them.
Right.
And so when you're telling your daughter that she has to hug Uncle Tom, you're not training her to understand that she can set boundaries around her body. And that consent has to be given.
Let me tell you something. I do that with my son all the time.
If you don't want
to
hug someone,
when they're like,
"Oh,
come and hug me," and he's like, "No," I'm like, "He don't want to hug you."
Exactly. Beautiful.
He does not want
to
hug you,
yeah.
and I'm not going
to
force
he
my son, a male, female.
Body.
He right. does not want to hug you, and he don't feel comfortable hugging you. So, all right, have a good day. I will never force my son to hug somebody.
Yeah, and it's one of the problems is we definitely raise our kids not training them to have autonomy around their body and to be able to set boundaries, and we force them to do things. And then again, when sexual urges occur and they've also not been taught sex positive sex education, we then expect them to know what to do. We also expect the daughters to know how to say no around their bodies, even though we never let them at home.
Mm-hmm.
We expect them to know how to set sexual boundaries, even though we've never had conversations about sex.
Yeah.
But then,
a lot of fathers as well, they'll be like, my daughter's not having sex until she's married.
Right.
And then that's like, you know, intimidating them. So it doesn't make it easy for a daughter to go talk to her father and be like, "Dad, look, I'm having sex. I need to get on birth control. Help me."
Yeah.
Because he's going to be like, "You're not having sex. You're not doing nothing." And then they go out and get pregnant or something
yes.
happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a
talk to your kids, people. Talk to your kids. Seriously.
And what's going on over there?
Okay.
We have another thing. We have more stuff.
Oh.
You love this one. I don't like this one.
All right, just do it. Let's see.
Okay.
Let's talk about it.
So Anne is obsessed.
Obsessed.
That's odd because you keep shoving this article into my face.
Because
it's stupid.
All right.
Oh. Wow.
Yo, don't be disrespecting Anne, bro.
Oh, here we go.
Before
y'all.
We gang up on your ass.
We need to get another dude in this room at some point. So anyway, it's about the use of smartphones and. What are the main ways that people use them? It's fascinating. So, Amber.
You gotta sell it. You can't say it like that.
Oh, okay. My God.
So, Miss Rose.
Yes.
Have you ever thrown your phone across the room?
No.
Really? Because 40% say that as well. Why is this not on film? I'm literally getting attacked by producer Rand.
What article did you bring today?
I texted you an article this morning.
This morning.
Yeah.
At 7.
All right. So
that's
go
right.
through your text messages.
That's right.
Yesterday.
That's right. Do your damn job.
There was nothing.
Oh, Anne.
So all
let's
right.
Get
so
back
40%.
To
okay. What else?
40% said no. And 22% said yes all the time. Do you know I've never thrown my phone because I don't want to go buy a new one?
Fuck no. I don't want to buy a new one.
What a nightmare that is to go set everything up, download, you lose all your photos.
Babe, I was just on the phone with Apple for 2 hours this morning because my phone, people would call me, no contact would come up. The phone would ring. I couldn't answer it. Then when it stopped ringing, there was nothing in my missed call log.
Do you know what my phone's doing right now? It's flipping the order of text messages. So
wow.
I'll respond to something and then it'll put like their response above my response. And so I'm looking at the conversation like none of this makes sense. And they're saying weird shit because are they getting this flip as well?
You have to call Apple and be on the phone for 2 hours. I'm being honest.
I
had to restore my phone, which is they took all the pictures away. All my text messages, I'm starting brand new.
That stinks.
Everything. I have to reload all my apps, but I still have all my contacts, so.
Oh, thank God.
But that's the only way to do it. It was really crazy.
While I have a minute, I'm thinking this. I just want to remind you guys that I'm speaking this February 24th, Saturday at UCLA.
I'll be there.
Go on my Instagram. The link is in my bio.
Wait, February 24th?
Yeah.
Oh, that's Sebastian's birthday.
Well, you guys can just come by after.
Yeah. Done. Oh, well, yeah. What time is it?
It's at 1 p.m.
Done.
Perfect.
Okay. I'm there.
It's gonna be badass because I'm never.
Well,
I'm
Sebastian's
never
birthday is on the 21st.
Okay, I'll give him a shout out.
But his party's early in the morning because you know kids get up early.
I'm never a dull speaker. So get your tickets. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm gonna call Apple so they can clean up my life because it's a mess and yeah. I'm trying to get out there. Okay, here we go. Have you ever dropped your phone in the toilet?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
What did you do?
It was waterproof. It was the last iPhone. The iPhone 8 is waterproof.
Were you at home or out in the world?
I was at Neiman's and I had my phone in my back pocket and I pulled my pants down to squat in a public bathroom and it fell in the fucking toilet.
Oh, man.
And I had to grab it real quick. I mean, I didn't go pee yet and there was nothing in the toilet. Still. But then at that point, it's like I had to wash my hands. You can't really wash your phone after that. So you're just fucked.
Yeah. That's nasty.
Yeah.
Only 23% have had that happen.
Yep. Had it in my back pocket.
That's intense.
Yeah, it sucked.
So here's another interesting one. Me and you brought this up a long time ago. So the question was, where do you put your phone when you're sleeping?
Right next to me.
Right, on your nightstand.
Yes.
60%. And then you jokingly, I don't remember if it was a meme or something you posted.
When you put a face down.
Yes! Because I said I do, and you said I was shady because I keep my thing upside down.
Yeah, that's shady.
Well, it's no one's business what's going on.
Yeah, but that means that you got some shit in your phone. But listen, that only applies when you're in a relationship.
Which I'm not.
Okay, but so, when you were,
yes,
you had your phone facing down.
Yeah, but that's also because look, not how do I say? Well, yes, some people are easily triggered, and so in order to preserve, you know, the day or the night, you keep it upside down so you can just enjoy each other.
I mean, I get it.
You know,
I get it. I'm not even mad.
Sometimes
at
some people are the whole "Who's that? What's that?" and you're all calm down.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how I get through the day sometimes.
Yeah.
Some people are triggered by everything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but yeah, so that is a thing. So like. You know, that's really a big thing on social media that people talk about a lot is that if you're on a date and you have your phone face down, it's like you got some shit going on. But, you know, I think the proper way is to just keep your phone off the table.
Yeah.
Put it in your pocket or your purse.
Yes.
You know, something like that. But
don't hear a horrible story.
Sure.
And again, I don't know why I'm sharing this because it makes me seem like a jerk. And I really am not.
Okay.
I'm a really great person.
You know, people do fucked up things.
Yeah.
It's all good.
So a couple years ago, I was on OkCupid, actually.
Okay.
And I was on a date with someone that I had met on OkCupid. And they said to me, hey, while we're together, can you not be on OkCupid? And I was like, well, I don't know. Like, we just only hung out a couple times and, like, you know, I want to still.
So you were on this app while you were sitting next to someone?
Well, it turns out they then said, no, I mean, when I'm literally on a date with you, can you not be on it? Because I guess apparently I was like on there swiping around while on a date. But I thought they meant like in general, can you not still have it downloaded while we're like.
That's horrible, Dr. Chris.
I know. I would never normally do something like that.
Why did you do that?
I don't know. What was I thinking?
That's really fucked up.
I guess it's one of those things where like if someone runs off to the bathroom, I'm like, well, here's a good moment to just see who's in the area.
I mean, yeah, but when they come back, you put your phone down.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, my whole thing is if you... Yeah, see, you're a sneaky motherfucker.
But I'm not. That's the funny thing. That was just one of those moments.
If I'm on a date...
Yeah.
And my man is on Instagram, I got a fucking attitude.
You should.
Yeah,
you should.
I got an attitude.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to Loveline with Amber Rose and certified sex therapist Chris Donahue.
Oh my God, we have a caller.
Whoa. Saved.
Veronica, you're on with me and Dr. Chris. How are you? How can we help you?
Oh my goodness. Hi, Dr. Chris.
Hey.
Hi, Amber.
Hi, sorry we're so late. Our phone was dead.
Okay.
Okay.
No problem.
How can we
oh
help
my God,
you?
So surreal. Anyway, I just want to say, you know, love you both and thank you for everything that you do. It's totally life changing, your podcast.
Aw, thank you. We love you too, babe. What's going on?
Okay. Yeah, so the I guess the issue that I am struggling with is that I don't really feel okay with my boyfriend and like one of my best friends hanging out like one-on-one together. And like, I don't, you know, I hate feeling like that because I don't want to be like that, you know, psycho girlfriend that thinks that, you know, every time they're hanging out, they're doing something. But it's like there have been just past instances like where, you know, that make me feel that way.
Like such as what?
So pretty much like me and my boyfriend, when we got together, you know, like we literally spent like every hour together, like every day. And so when my friends came around, you know, when I, you know, brought my friends and everything, it had been like about a few months into me and him dating. And pretty much the first, like the thing that happened, and like, you know, my friend that I'm like referring to, she's like, you know, model gorgeous. Like she's, guys go after her, and you know, she's been like with some very well-known people. So I guess like the first thing was like I went on a trip to visit my family, and you know, I came back home and I asked him like what he did, and he's like, oh well, you know, your girl hit me up at like 4 a.m. so I went and picked her up. And then
Amber's making a face, not liking what she's hearing. Red flag.
Yeah, I'll beat the shit out of my friend. I'll beat the
weird.
Shit out of
like,
him.
Amber, it's weird.
That's fucking weird. Yeah, that's
fucking weird. And then he said, you know, that they came back and they just chilled at his place. And his place at this time was, he was living in his mom's garage. So, you know, it's just one big room. And he's just like, well, you know, she, you know, slept on the couch and I slept on the bed and, you know, she stayed the night and then that was it.
Girl, so, it's extremely inappropriate. Extremely inappropriate. I'll beat the shit out of my friend. She calls my man 4 a.m. and goes over his house and sleeps over. Bitch, what?
I know. That's
Are you
why
crazy?
It's like... Yeah,
I'm just
like,
getting mad, thinking about it.
Amber's got to go. She's too pissed. And again, her boobs are healing. She can't be in the state.
I can't.
That's just not nice. Because here's my thinking: if I was the friend, I wouldn't want to do anything to make my best friend feel uncomfortable. So I would never hit someone's partner up at crazy early morning times
at all.
And even though like I'm really trustworthy, I still wouldn't want to do anything that might imply or make them uncomfortable.
The only time your friend should hit your boyfriend is if, mind you, are you a Veronica? I'm trying to get in touch with her. Or, hey, you know, I want to plan this big party for Veronica's birthday and, you know, I want to, you know, you to help me out. Other than that, the bitch shouldn't be talking to your man, period. China is like my best friend, right?
Yeah.
China, like if I'm on FaceTime with China and, you know, Savage is with me, she'll be like, oh, hey, brother, what's up, brother? Other than that, she will not call his phone. She doesn't have his number.
She's not hitting him up at 4 a.m.
No,
crashing.
And guess what? If she sees him out and about, it's like, oh, hey, bro.
Yeah.
Where's Amber?
Right.
It's never, like you just... It's proper etiquette. You never, ever, ever, ever do that. Ever.
I'm just in shock that your friend would do things that would make you feel uncertain and not talk to you about it. Like, if that had happened for me, I would have hit my friend up the next day being like, yo, just so you know, this is what happened.
That wasn't cool.
And I would have explained. I would have at least reached out to say, like, I crashed at your significant other's house, 4 a.m. I thought you might think something of it, so I want to hit you up and just explain. Like, they would acknowledge it. But if they're not telling you.
Yeah, right. But listen, at the end of the day, it's different. It's like everybody's at a house party at his house and she winds up falling asleep on the couch. Fine. But the whole calling him, hey, what you doing? You want to get something to eat? Okay.
And then 4 a.m. Like at 4 in the morning.
That's fucking crazy.
Where are you going
bro?
At 4 in the morning?
I'll beat the shit out of that girl, boy. I'm not telling you to go beat the shit out of her. I'm just saying that's what I would do. I'm my own person, but You know, realistically, you definitely need to have a conversation. That's extremely inappropriate. And even for your boyfriend to allow that to happen, if anything, he should have called you before anything and been like, hey, so-and-so just called me. She wants me to go pick her up. This seems really fishy. How do you feel about this?
Right.
Then you could have made the decision like, nah, she's cool. She's going through a breakup. She's probably just bored. I'm not in town. Go take my friend out to eat. But that it doesn't seem
How
like
How did
that.
You find out that that happened?
He told her.
He did? Okay.
Sorry, what was that?
You said your man told you what happened.
So yeah, that was like the first instance, like, and that was like kind of like months, and you know, I got pissed and I left. And then like kind of throughout, we've been together like almost 5 years now, and like there have been just kind of little things like that. So he knows now that I'm uncomfortable. You know, I don't necessarily I don't know if she knows because I haven't confronted
you
her.
You need to. But here's an example. Again, I hate having to put some responsibility on you, but this is what I think you need to
totally,
do.
Yeah.
If you want to be a good friend, then that means you want to have a really honest, open relationship with this person. And so I would reach out to her and say, hey, I just want to let you know the time you've been spending with my boyfriend, the literal times and what you guys are doing makes me really uncomfortable. And I would assume you wouldn't want that. So can we talk about the boundaries you have with him and settings?
Yeah.
And I'd want her to be like, thanks for caring enough about me to come have an honest conversation because I don't want you to feel bad. Like, that's what I'd want her to say back. So talk to her. But if she gets weird and defensive and she's prioritizing her relationship to him over her relationship to you, well, that's
crazy.
Yeah, and you need to know.
Right.
So reach out to both of them. Have that talk really open and honest. Maybe even everyone sits down and talks about it openly together. I don't know. But there shouldn't be any secrets around this. And you shouldn't. And listen, do not feel bad that you feel uncomfortable.
You should feel uncomfortable.
Okay. It's okay. And own that confidently. Okay. I feel really awkward about the way you guys have been hanging out. Let's talk it out. But good luck. Let us know how it goes.
Yeah, okay, cool. Thank you.
Yeah, keep us posted. Bye.
I would never want to do anything to a best friend of mine to make them think I'm being shady with their boyfriend or girlfriend. Ever.
That's horrible.
I would never want someone to feel uncomfortable. I actually try to do the opposite.
Yeah. Listen, I stay far, 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 far away. Even if like my friend's boyfriend is around and I'm just like, I don't give them hugs. Like, I'll be like, all right, man, what's up? Okay. Anyway, you know, and then I'm like, no. Mm-mm.
Yeah. Because I have this one friend and he brings me out a lot when he has a first or second date as like a wingman. He likes having kind of a buffer there. And I make sure that I use my presence to bring them together. Like, I push them together when I'm around.
Right.
I say things to get them talking. I don't
take
the time to get to know this other person and hit it off and exchange numbers and hang out with them. So
yeah, it's weird. Something sounds a little fishy about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Come on in. What are you doing in? No more stories.
No, but I want to just, I'll just bring this
what
up.
What about the story? Yeah. What about the story that you texted Ann earlier?
Oh, that was the New York Times porn story.
Oh.
I'll say this though.
It. What?
Let's bring this up. And I'm sure you've had this happen.
Okay.
So someone reached out on my social media and said to me, hey, just want to let you know, a friend of mine saw you out and came up to say hi. They're a really big fan of yours and you were rude. Said to me.
Mm-hmm.
And my response was, please apologize. I'm never okay with that. I did not mean that. I'm socially awkward at times.
Yeah.
And I probably just didn't understand why they were approaching me.
Well, listen, check this out. People don't know what it's like to be famous until you're famous. And, you know, when you become famous, you have a lot of strangers come up to you and say a lot of things. You could be in the middle of a conversation. You could just not be in the mood.
Right.
You can have personal issues going on where you're just like, look, now is not the time,
right?
You know, and it comes off rude, but now is not the time. And you know, you got to go through that, you know, being a famous person. I've been through it where people have said, oh my God, Amber is the nicest person. She took 35 pictures with us and all my friends. And then there's other people, it's like, damn, Amber's a bitch. Like, she was just like, not today, I whip my son.
Right.
No, don't do
God
that.
God forbid, Amber, you set a boundary and take care of yourself.
Right.
I mean, that's what's in there. You should just be completely available at all times. I mean, here's my thing. I'm complimented when anyone has any interest in my work or wants to take the time and say hello to me and thank me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm complimented, humbly. And so I'll say hi, I'll take a picture, I'll shake their hand. But it's also sometimes how people approach, where I was out over the weekend and someone approached me in a really weird way and I was very uncomfortable and I didn't understand. They were like, you're Dr. Chris, right? And I was like, yes. And there's like all these long silences. And I was like, hi.
Yeah.
And we just stood there for a minute. And then my friends were looking and I was looking and I was like, okay. And they're like, wow, you're rude. Literally said it to my face. And I thought, what did you want me to do in this moment? I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah. You know, there's ways to do it. Like, yes, I am. Oh, how you doing? Oh, good. Okay. Well, you know, thanks for saying hi.
Yeah.
And then you just, you know, what happens is that people get starstruck sometimes and they're like a deer in headlights and they just don't know how to react.
Well said.
And so you kind of have to be the person to be like, all right, man, hey, what's your name? Oh, you know, Jacob. Okay, cool. Yeah. Nice to meet you, bro. And then
so say hi. I'm approachable. I need you though to give me a right side hug. No left side hugs, please. Or no, right? Is that what I want? No, I want a left side hug.
No,
that's what it is.
A right side hug is like, I don't know you, but you're
right.
Cool.
Okay, so I'll take that then.
Yeah, but you know what I really dislike. You know, and for people that are out there listening, if you ever run into me when I'm with my son, don't say hi, Sebastian, because what happens is that he comes to me and he says, mommy, I don't know that person. How do they know my name? Mm. You know, and people don't realize that you're saying hi to my son. You never asked him his name.
Right.
So he's like, that's a stranger. A stranger knows my name. Why are they saying
he's
my name?
He's confused. Yeah. You gotta have some sensitivity.
You know, it's like, just don't, you could just say, hey, but don't say hi, Sebastian, because it's very, very confusing to a little boy.
Yeah, and it's, I guess, and for a parent, for you, it might feel too comfortable.
Well, yeah, but the thing of it is like, people don't understand that it's inappropriate because, you know, I put him on social media and they feel like they know him and he's so cute. But, you know, for my boy, it does, you know, I'd rather them just say, hey, or, you know, Amber, I'm a big fan. You know, your son is cute or something like that.
Yeah.
But not come and say his name because awesome. It's like, mom, like, that's a stranger. Mm-hmm. How do they know my name? You know, but I tell him all the time, I'm like, I don't care if anybody knows your name or anything. You don't go with anybody. You stay right in that place. You kick and scream and bite and you never, ever let anybody take you anywhere.
But that's the confusing piece, is they're saying hi and then is he supposed to engage them and to what level, and you don't want him talking to people that say no. And so, yeah. Well said.
Yeah. It's weird being famous.
Do we have a call?
No.
Okay. Is the phone busted again?
All right. Well, okay. Can we have the other, the phone number and stuff?
Oh, right. So let's go over that just really quickly. So we don't record. You can call at any time.
Yes.
Leave a voicemail.
Yes.
And then producer Ann will call you guys back.
Yes.
And let you know when we're going to record and schedule. So just call.
I don't
call
care if
whenever.
You're on Mountain Time, Central Time, Eastern Time, Pacific Time,
Australia Time.
If you're in Europe, you can call any time and leave a message, and we and producer Ann, our wonderful producer Ann, will give you a call back. But you have to leave a message, and guess what? We check every single voicemail. So don't feel like, oh, you know, I'm sending a voicemail and, you know, they're not going to check it. I'm never going to get on the show. We check every single voicemail. So here's the number: 213-375-5258. That's 213-375-5258. Listen, subscribe, lovelinewithamberrose.com. Use hashtag loveline, you know, when you talk about us. And please leave a message and we will call you back when, you know, we're here and we're live. That's 213-375-5258. And we love you guys. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.